From the Mercy One studio.
Welcome to Straight Talk, a lively discussion on tough issues impacting our lives. Every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Here's your host, Gene Wells, brought to you by Blackbird Investments.
Welcome in, everyone, to Straight Talk here at Iowa Catholic Radio. It is your weekly dose of that news, things that are happening around the diocese, things that are happening around the world, plus commentary, conversation on issues that we need to be aware of, we need to be attentive to, and not just slough off and assume that someone else is going to step up to the plate. So we're going to talk about all that. It's Straight Talk. You've got questions. We've got answers. You can text us 515-223-1150. I'm Gene Wells, and I'm so grateful to Mercy One Studio for sponsoring our studio here at Iowa Catholic Radio, and also to Blackbird Investments for sponsoring Straight Talk. Doing what is right, doing what is challenging because it is right, that is Blackbird Investments. When it comes to building real estate, they look for creative solutions by forming strategic alliances, creating energy-efficient buildings, and engaging with local craftsmen. At its core, Blackbird believes in giving buildings a new life. For more information, you can go online, blackbirdinvest.com. Now, on today's show, we're talking about the legislative priorities that our Iowa bishops have. And my guest is Tom Chapman. He's the executive director for the Iowa Catholic Conference. We're going to learn all about how that process works, how and why our bishops are engaged in political activities. These are things that impact our lives, so we better be attentive to what's going on. And you know, as we look to the legislative priorities, we as a society have become very polarized and critical of any group or individual who does not agree with us. We collectively have to stop this. I mean, we have to stop it in our little memes, in our snide comments on Facebook, in our interactions, day-to-day interactions, much less when we're talking about the big political issues. We have to stop that. You know, I would liken all of our laws to mirror the teachings of the Catholic Church. Absolutely, yes. Is it reasonable to expect that that's to happen? Well, no. And honestly, should we want it to happen? I mean, we shouldn't want any religion to also serve as our government. If the Catholic Church became the government, what would stop any other religion to create a coup and become the next government religion? But I do hope and pray that many of the teachings of the church that are rooted in natural law and common sense, hello, common sense, would be represented in the laws of the land. However, what I think are true and right and good laws, like the protection of life from conception to natural death, others find restrictive. And even when we disagree on such a fundamental teaching, we still need to respectfully disagree and engage in a discourse that can allow us to move forward for the greater good. That's my opinion on that one. Let's look at some events that are coming up tonight. Man Up hosts our Mission as Men. That is at the Basilica. It's an evening with Bishop Joneson. You can register at iowacatholicradio.com. They're expecting a big turnout, which wasn't surprise me. I mean, Bishop Joneson is a delightful man. And to have an opportunity to get acquainted with him, with, you know, a couple hundred of your best friends, I mean, you really will. Go online to iowacatholicradio.com to find out when it starts. There's rosary and mass, and then there's dinner and fellowship and a good conversation. Randy Keel will facilitate that this evening. December 7th, get your tickets. Father John Ricardo is going to be here. You hear him after my show every weekday and at 8 p.m. every weekday. Father John Ricardo, I feel like he's my best friend. I mean, I really do. He just touches my heart when he converses on the airwaves with each of us individually. I hope you will join us December 7th, and we'll also have an opportunity to see the premiere of The Veil Removed. What happens, what really happens at Mass at that consecration? Go online to iowacatholicradio.com to find out information about the tickets in the evening and get yours today. And finally, the last item, it's a unique opportunity. It's December 20th through the 22nd. So in December, for men who are in high school, seniors or older, thinking about the priesthood. So if you have a young man that may be coming home from college, this would be a great opportunity for them to spend this weekend in a retreat setting. You know, and you can ask that question, is Christ calling me to join the seminary? It's all a discernment process. This retreat is with Bishop Joneson and our other seminarians, and you have a chance to ask Christ personally. Email the vocations director, Father Ross Parker, or that's rparker@dmdiocese.org, or you can call him at 515-237-5050. That's 515-237-5050. Now a little bit of news. This last Friday, U.S. District Court Judge William Orrick ordered the jury to find David DeLeiden guilty of trespass on several separate occasions in the course of his undercover work in exposing the sale of human body parts. The federal court found that pro-life advocate DeLeiden's Center for Medical Progress caused substantial harm to Planned Parenthood, even though witnesses spent 6 weeks testifying under oath that the undercover videos are true and Planned Parenthood did, in fact, sell fetal organs on a quid pro quo basis. The Center for Medical Progress commented, justice was not done today in San Francisco when a biased judge with close Planned Parenthood ties spent 6 weeks influencing the jury with predetermined rulings and suppressing the video evidence, all in order to rubber stamp Planned Parenthood's lawsuit attack on the First Amendment. Evidently, Judge Orrick had helped to open up a Planned Parenthood clinic, so I don't know why he was not excused from this case, but we will hear more about this, no doubt. Sadly, there's been a rash of mass shootings again this past week, from Florida to California, a total of 12 killed and 18 injured. A mass shooting is defined as an incident where four or more individuals are injured or killed. I went to look that up and looked also the last 72 hours. There were six pages of shootings. Now, not all of those were mass shootings, but six pages. There were like 20 shootings on each page. Oh, my word. It's not the guns that are killing people. It's the people that are killing people. We have to be attentive to people that have mental health issues. Let's offer a prayer today for all who are contemplating such deadly behavior. Lord, guide them to get the help they need. When we come back, we're going to talk about legislative priorities of the bishops for Iowa with our very own Tom Chapman, our very own. By the way, Tom is always available when I ask for his input on things so that you can stay up to date on these legislative strategies. He is the executive director for the Iowa Catholic Conference. It's time for Straight Talk right now on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Thank you, Dental Associates, for underwriting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. With over 40 years' experience, Dental Associates is a group dental practice with the mission of promoting optimum health and well-being to all patients, providing preventative, restorative, and cosmetic dentistry for the entire family. Message underwritten by Dr. Kenton Gleichman, Dr. Steve Karbaka, Dr. Christine Mulcahy, and Dr. Ben Nagel. Dental Associates, addressing your smile, needs, and dreams. Online at DesMoines-DentalAssociates.com.
Why do folks give to the Catholic Tuition Organization? Probably because they love Catholic schools, right? Partially, but they also like the tax benefits, or they were helped when their kids were in school, or they have been blessed and want to bless others. Whatever the reason, the 65% tax credits are great, and after all, it's for the kids and their future. Online, ctoiowa.org.
Hi, this is Father Larry Richards of EWTN Open Line Thursday, and we just want to encourage you to help us. We really need you to bring people to Jesus Christ. Think about it. What have we done to bring people to Christ? We need you and we need your help because Jesus tells you, go and make disciples of all nations. You can do that by helping us. God bless you.
You can give securely online at iowacatholicradio.com, the Iowa Catholic Radio app, or call 515-223-1150.
Vitae Family Care is part of the Iowa Catholic Radio family. pro-life physician Greg McKernan, a DO, has practiced for 27 years, seeing patients of all ages with just about every kind of need. Dr. McKernan lives his faith as a physician and is trained in NAPRO technology, allowing him to diagnose and treat many female conditions and even markedly reduce the occurrence of a miscarriage. VitaeFamilyCare.com. Remember, Vitae is Latin for life.
Thank you to R&R Realty Group Apartment Communities for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning. R&R Realty Group Apartment Communities have unique amenities and award-winning property management. Sierra Point and Country Club Village Apartments in West Des Moines and residents at 62W and Wynwood Apartments in Johnston. R&R Realty Group Apartment Communities wants you to love where you live. Learn more at rrrealty.com. That's rrrealty.com. Find out how you can support Iowa Catholic Radio at iowacatholicradio.com or 515-223-1150.
Thank you, Skeffington's Formal Wear, for sponsoring Dowling Catholic High School football. In business since 1951, Skeffington's Formal Wear offers quality service, style, and selection, providing tuxedos, suits, and casual groom attire for weddings, proms, and any other special occasion. Skeffington's Formal Wear, with convenient locations in Des Moines, West Des Moines, Davenport, Coralville, and Ankeny. All locations are family-owned and operated by members in their respective communities, fitting you for life celebrations. Online at skeffingtons.com.
Welcome back to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio. This is Jean Walls, and I do encourage you to text us. We have a big topic today, and you most likely have an opinion on one or more of our conversations with Tom Chapman. He's the executive director for Iowa Catholic Conference. You can text us at, as always, 515-223-1150. Our text line is always open, so give us a text, send us a message, comment or question, we will respond to you. Oh, by the way, those are always confidential unless you happen to put your name on it. So you can send us pretty much anything. So Tom, I'm so grateful that you could join us. As I said, you are always so willing to say yes when I ask you to join me. And I'd like to start first, this Iowa Catholic Conference. You know, we always assume everybody knows exactly what that means, and they don't. So let's go back to square one. What is the Iowa Catholic Conference?
The Iowa Catholic Conference is the Iowa Catholic Bishops Organization for Public Policy. So it's the bishops are the voting board, and it's the agency that they use to engage in public policy. So I represent them at the Capitol, you know, during the legislative session. Every day up there. And then this time of year, I'm out and about talking to different groups and meeting with legislators to try to get ready for the legislative session and the priorities that the bishops have. But it's really their way to engage in the political process.
You mean there are things that the church is involved in that have any influence on political process?
Well, I don't know about influence. Yeah, I don't know about influence, but certainly they find a good way to engage with their ideas with legislators, and hopefully sometimes they pay attention to that.
Well, and as I said in the commentary, you know, what I love everything, all of the rules of the law of the land mirror my Catholic faith. It's like, well, sure I would, but I don't know. Did you agree with me? I mean, I don't think we want any religion to be the government for our country.
Yeah, I think we need to remember first, what is the church about? You know, and I think certainly from the bishop's perspective, I think they would see the church as being a way to help people on their spiritual journey to heaven. That's the job of the church. It's not the job of the church to run government. Now, we do have a small effort in that area just to let people know, you know, what we believe is important relating to human life and dignity and Catholic schools and things like that. But really, the job one of the church is to help people on their journey to God.
Well, before we talk about these local issues, there's a couple of items that I wanted to visit with you about. And one, I just saw this last week. That the USCCB, which is United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, so all of them in the U.S., have a campaign on civility, which I like. You would have thought it was a flame flying through the air to press that button, because I'm so frustrated with the lack of civility in society. And you can take a pledge and say, yes, I will act civilly and encourage our candidates to act civilly in the political process. So talk about it.
Well, here's what I know about it. Yeah. I think certainly it's something that the bishops were perceiving is a need in society, and that's for sure. I mean, there's a lot of people within the Catholic community I know who are involved in the political process who have just had it with, in terms of the language that people use and the attacks and the canceling and all of that stuff. And mm-hmm. so I think this is an effort from the church that they've kind of heard those concerns and trying to deal with that and encourage Catholics to get involved in the political process in a good way. Talking civilly with one another does not mean just sitting back and letting other people talk about their ideas. It means
– go and talk about them behind their back.
No, I mean you engage them. You know, as a human being, you engage in telling the truth and doing it in a loving way. And I think that's what the civilize it process is about. And so I know the bishops have put up the website, which is civilizeit.org. And the Diocese of Des Moines is already starting to put together some plans for how they're going to implement it. And I mm-hmm. know that the other dioceses in Iowa are interested in that as well. And so I think you'll hear more about that as we move into the election mm-hmm. season next year. Obviously, it's caucus season now, but I think you'll hear more about it. Because as you know, Gene, we've had what we've called faithful citizenship.
Right.
It's been kind of the informational and resourcing effort that the bishops have tried to get across. And I think this, you know, this will be a part of that.
So it's civilizeit.org. Go out, folks. Take a read. It's a quick information to read. You can take the pledge. And it really is encouraging us to pledge civility, clarity, so we're not being ambiguous, and compassion within our families and communities and parishes, and to call on others to do the same. And we were talking during the break, and I just have to say it, Tom, folks, we need to be attentive, especially on our social media, that of the things that we share, like the funny little memes that have even mild profanity laced in it that is derogatory about a candidate. I mean, this is just talking about the electoral process. It's not even talking about life in general. But why would we, who want to mirror Christ as best we can, ever send a meme or a joke or anything that is contrary, that is contradictory, that is derogatory about any candidate? There are many I don't agree with, but that doesn't mean I'm going to use profanity to call them names or degrade them or their family. I'm not going to stoop to that. So there.
Yeah. That's the homily for the day.
Tom, you can just leave. I'll go for the next 45 minutes and get on my soapbox about this.
No, I'll help you with that.
Okay. Good, good. Okay. Let's move on. Last Tuesday, the U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments on the legality of the DACA program. And the DACA program, I've forgotten the initials, what it means.
Deferred action. Childhood arrivals.
So those are the young people that were brought to the United States by their parents illegally, by no fault of their own, and now they have grown up and they're adults, and they are fearful for deportation. And so the Supreme Court heard arguments on the legality of the DACA program. They were originally kind of exempt, and then President Trump said, no, fix this law so that they're not just perpetually waffling. So update us. Where are we at in that?
Well, obviously, the Supreme Court is going to do its thing, and we'll hear that, I would expect, in June, what comes mm-hmm. out of that. Certainly, from our perspective, we want Congress to take action.
Mm-hmm.
And if everybody's worried about this, which we are, and people in Congress keep saying they're worried about the DACA adults, we should take care of this in the law.
They seem and more not, worried about impeachment than well, they I'm, seem you know, about anything else.
I'm not a fan of executive orders of any stripe. You know,
yeah.
I believe that Congress should do its job.
Yeah.
You know, and that's and certainly from the bishop's perspective, they're very supportive of Congress passing mm-hmm. what is called the DREAM Act, which would basically regularize the status of these folks and also possibly give them a path to citizenship. And so, you know, on the bishop's website is certainly a link to that action alert and really trying to push Congress to do its job and take action and to put a law together that the president can sign.
Where does Senators Ernst and Grassley fall in this? Have they said whether they are in favor of the DREAM Act or not?
Yeah, I think generally speaking, they're in favor of fixing this. And
okay.
most legislators are, not everybody, but I think generally speaking, they have been in favor of it. So This will be more of an encouraging message, you know, that you're sending them. But it really is going to require a lot of people to work together in Washington to try to get this to the floor and pass it. But it's one of those things that they might be able to. You know, they've got to get to 60 votes in the Senate, and that's hard to do on any issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I realize it's difficult, but we want to encourage them to do that.
Especially in an election year. I mean, who knows? Yeah. Who knows where that may go? You know, if they're wanting to cater to a certain vote, it may pass. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the lives of 800,000 people.
Well, and that's the problem. You know, it's easy to say, well, you know, let's just, if we start deporting people, then maybe we'll get a law passed or whatever. Well, we're playing with people's lives. And mm-hmm. a lot of people who are very concerned about this, who are living under this shadow every day, and their parents did the best they could for them, but now they've got this thing to deal with. And so we really need to work for this bill and get it done.
Now, I love your website, as you know. I talk about it every time I'm on.
Thank you.
If you go to the Iowa Catholic Conference website, there are action alerts, their newsletters. You are not bombarded with information all the time. During the legislative session, you get more, thank goodness. But there is a way to message Senators Ernst and Grassley about the DREAM Act. So share with our listeners how they can go about signing up for your newsletter and
right.
contact, how easy it is to contact legislators.
A couple different things. This is a federal alert. And if you go to our website at iowacatholicconference.org, there's a place where you can click on the federal alerts from the U.S. bishops. There's also a place there where you can join our network and
mm-hmm.
get the notification of these alerts. And so if you just click on join the network and then you can put in your name and email and your street address, then you'll get information from us on a regular basis. And when there are action alerts at the state level, you'll get them directly as well. So,
well, and I don't think I've ever gotten a piece of mail from you, but that helps you
right.
know, like if it's who your state legislators are. So when you go to do these automated responses, which you can always customize.
Yes, yes.
That it knows who your legislators are. You know, it's not going to send it to everybody and their brother. It's going to send it to the two or three that are in your district.
Yeah, you're not spamming everybody. So
right.
When a legislator gets a message from our Iowa Catholic Conference network, they know it's from a constituent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a lot more effective to do it that way.
I was reading your most recent newsletter, and you had something in there that I was clueless about, the Global Fragility Act.
Yeah.
Is the globe fragile?
Well, I think there's an idea that worldwide there are always, you know, hot spots, places where there's conflict, where it's either happening or it's brewing. And that, of course, can be a result of civil war, could be a result of famine, disasters, things like that. And so what this bill is intended to do is really direct the Department of State with some funding to do a whole of government, you know, interagency effort to try to prevent violent conflict. And this is something that the U.S. Bishops Overseas Development Agency, Catholic Relief Services, mm-hmm. has really been working on this bill, because Catholic Relief Services knows what's going on in the world. They're in probably 140 different countries, and they know what can happen. And so they're saying that this would be helpful to help put a more comprehensive solution to some of these problems.
Well, and it only seems logical that if you have 15 organizations working on one problem, that they would work together.
Yeah, that's the – hopefully you would, but
remember
it's the government,
yeah.
you know, and everybody has their own area of expertise on
mm-hmm.
an issue. But the idea would be as we work together better.
Right. If you are interested in learning more about this issue, there's a website called ConfrontGlobalPoverty.org, ConfrontGlobalPoverty.org, and you can find out more information about the Global Fragility Act.
Absolutely. Yeah. We encourage people to take action when they can.
So, yeah, when I first read that, I'm like, is the globe going to explode?
we
talking
not.
About nuclear or something or other?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, okay. Now, this next topic, folks, it's even a shame that we need to have a discussion on this. And this is a bill which calls for the dignified treatment of human remains. I'm, you know, you've heard this. You read about the abortionist who was it Illinois or Indiana?
The most recent was, I think, Illinois.
Yeah, that had hundreds of baby body parts stuffed in cars. I mean, that it's just disgusting, but that we have to elevate this, that this isn't just one crazy guy, but we have to elevate this to the point of legislation.
Yeah, we just want to make it clear that these remains should be disposed of in a proper way. And obviously, it's not happening. So this is one way to make sure that people realize this should happen and to make it clear to, you know, doctors that they need to, you know, dispose of these in the proper way. And as you say, it's a sad thing that you have to talk about and even, you know, need a law about, but that's where we're at. And so, once again, this is something you can find on the U.S. Bishop's website to take action on that.
Yeah, the U.S. Bishop website, that's USCCB.org.
Yep.
It just pops up automatically when I type up USCCB.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even have to do the extension anymore. But they also have Voter Voice that allows you to keep connected with some of these national issues. So, Bishop Joseph Nauman of Kansas City, he's the chair of the USCCB Committee for Pro-Life Issues, you know, has sent a letter to Congress about this very important issue, because we're not just talking about the byproducts of abortion. We're talking about the times when, you know, we've heard over the last 10 years where bodies have been found in funeral homes.
Yeah.
And it's nuts.
Well, I mean, when you look at it, when these abortion doctors don't really, you know, consider these children, so to them it's just garbage, you know, so that's what we're trying to deal with.
Hey, when we come back with Tom, we're going to talk about one other national issue, and that is the dangers of assisted suicide. I mean, that's humorous right there. I mean, the dangers, yeah. But it's not so much that. It's how we protect those with disabilities. And we'll also talk in the second half of the show about the legislative priorities of the Iowa bishops. You're listening to Straight Talk right now on Iowa Catholic Radio. Why do folks give to the Catholic Tuition Organization? Probably because they love Catholic schools, right? Partially, but they also like the tax benefits, or they were helped when their kids were in school, or they have been blessed and want to bless others. Whatever the reason, the 65% tax credits are great, and after all, it's for the kids and their future. Online, ctoiowa.org.
Doing what is challenging because it's right. That's Blackbird Investments. In 2013, Blackbird Investments was born from the inspiration of St. Kevin. When it comes to building real estate, they look for creative solutions by forming strategic alliances, creating energy-efficient buildings, and engaging with local craftsmen. At its core, Blackbird Investments believes in giving buildings a new life. BlackbirdInvest.com. Blackbird Investments. Doing what is challenging because it's right.
Hi, this is Father Mitch Pacwa, and our Lord said if you give a cup of cold water to a disciple because he's a disciple, you get a disciple's reward. We thank you for your support of Catholic Radio, because we are trying to be faithful disciples, and we trust that as you are generous, our Lord will also reward you with a disciple's reward.
You can give securely online at iowacatholicradio.com, the Iowa Catholic Radio app, or call 515-223-1150. Thank you to Mercy One for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio. From the cardiovascular experts at the Iowa Heart Center to the pediatric services of Mercy Children's Hospital and Clinics, Mercy provides complete care for Central Iowa's adults and children with more than 50 primary care and specialty clinics in the Des Moines area. Find a convenient Mercy One location near you. Online at mercydesmoines.org.
Support for Dowling Catholic Sports is provided by Two Rivers Glass and Door, creating commercial glass and aluminum storefronts. Also serving your home needs by creating custom frameless shower doors, mirrors, glass tabletops, and specialty glass. Two Rivers Glass and Door. Design, fabrication, and installation. 515-222-4860. Online at tworiversglass.com. Two Rivers Glass and Door. Serving imaginations since 1992.
Iowa Catholic Radio welcomes At Evening with Father Ricardo, sponsored by Ut Fidem, December 7th, 7 p.m. in the Grand Ballroom at the Iowa Event Center. Learn more at iowacatholicradio.com. Ut Fidem, Latin for keep the faith, strives to develop Dowling Catholic High School students who will keep the faith through college. Ut Fidem does this by supporting students in forming deep personal relationships with Christ through small group ministry and faith mentoring. Learn more about An Evening with Father John Ricardo, sponsored by Ut Fidem, Saturday, December 7th at iowacatholicradio.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio's broadcast of Dowling Catholic Sports and Activities is provided by Kemin, a global ingredient manufacturer using science to transform the quality of life for 80% of the world. Kemin is on the leading edge of molecular science, manufacturing more than 500 specialty ingredients for the human and animal health and nutrition, pet food, aquaculture, nutraceutical, food technologies, crop technologies, and textile industries. Kemin strives to sustainably transform the quality of life every day for 80% of the world with their products and services. Kemin, using science to transform the world. Online at Kemin.com.
Here's your forecast on Iowa Catholic Radio. Looks fair for the afternoon, mid-50s, partly cloudy and mid-30s overnight. More clouds roll in tomorrow with our high in the mid-50s, rain on the way Wednesday night and Thursday. The weather is being brought to you by Rock Valley Physical Therapy, outstanding outpatient physical therapy and sports medicine rehabilitation with 7 convenient locations in the Des Moines metro and southwest Iowa area. I'm meteorologist Steve Hamilton on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Welcome back to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio. This is Gene Wells, broadcasting from the Mercy One studio. And my guest today is Tom Chapman, the executive director for the Iowa Catholic Conference. And we're talking about the legislative priorities that truly do impact our lives. You might say, wait a minute, you just talked about, you know, the bill which the dignified treatment of human remains. If we're living in a society that doesn't have the dignified treatment of human remains, do we want to live in that society? Mm-hmm. No, we want to change that. So all of these issues, whether they directly impact us or if it's a societal issue, we need to be aware of them and know really who our where our legislative officials fall on either side of these issues, because do they represent my mindset, my conscience? And that's really where we need to be. Now, this next topic, again, it's the dangers of assisted suicide laws, finishing the sentence, that do not do enough to protect those with disabilities. I mean, assisted suicide, why we even have assisted suicide laws in the first place. I can I shouldn't admit this, but I can understand. My mom is 96. Mm-hmm. She has dementia. She wants to die. She's in a nursing home. She can't get out of her room. So I understand the compassion of not having her be so miserable anymore, but it is not my choice. It's not her choice to say, I want to give up on life. You know, right. It's God's. It's God's time. So that we need to protect those with disabilities because others are making those choices for them, that's really sad.
Well, I think there's like with the issue you brought up, I mean, there's a difference between not taking all of the medical care that you can possibly get to stay alive versus making a decision to kill yourself.
Right.
You know, obviously, it's well within our rights as human beings to, you know, take the medical care that we'd like to have and refuse some medical care mm-hmm. that we don't feel is going to be helpful anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's really important that we keep that. And that's why we encourage people to do advanced directives, you know, to try to outline a little bit about what their thoughts are about, you know, the end of life and the medical care they want and who they want to choose to help them make those decisions. The study from the National Council on Disability, I think, is interesting in the sense that we know that people with disabilities are more vulnerable in general, but especially in places where there are assisted suicide laws, you know, people can be influenced. You know, they don't want to be burdens on other people, things like that. And it's a lot cheaper for someone to kill themselves, frankly, than it is for pay for the medical care. And so in that way, people with disabilities, I think, feel vulnerable in that sense. And so basically the policy recommendation that came out of this study was states should not legalize any form of assisted suicide. Mm-hmm. And certainly that's something we agree with and have worked on here in the state and will have to work on again in the future. But I think the disabilities piece is something that people should really pay attention to.
Do you think that will pass? Is there enough support in Iowa for there to be suicide in our state?
Not currently in the current environment we have, but I know that the other side is always working on that and encouraging it. And so that's something that we're definitely paying attention to. And we do have a coalition of groups called the Iowa Coalition for Ethical Care that meets fairly regularly to talk about this and get ready for that legislative issue. Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of that, let's get down to the Iowa issues. One of the big things, and you're doing meetings right mm-hmm. now around the state, around this constitutional amendment. And sometimes we just randomly put words together that say, oh, if we pass this constitutional amendment, abortion will be illegal in Iowa. And that's not what it is.
No, not what this does. This is in reaction, I would say, to last year's Iowa Supreme Court decision, which found abortion to be a fundamental right in the state of Iowa. And that's the first time any court in Iowa came up with that. Mm-hmm. And so what the effect of it is almost any regulation of abortion in Iowa would not be possible. And so it puts things like, right now we don't have any taxpayer funding of abortions in the Medicaid program. Mm-hmm. It's possible that that's going to happen. We have a 20-week prohibition after 20 weeks of pregnancy on abortion. That is vulnerable as well under this new ruling. And so it's very problematic, mm-hmm. you know, on the abortion issue. And so there's a group of us that have come together with the bishops and Iowa Right to Life and Iowans for Life and the Family Leader and several other groups who are working on a constitutional amendment, which would just say this constitution does not secure a right to an abortion. The amendment itself does not ban any abortion mm-hmm. or stop that. It kind of just says it's up for the people of Iowa to decide what the regulation of abortion would be rather than the Supreme Court.
So there's, you know, lots of scuttlebutt lately that Roe versus Wade will be overturned because there's more knowledge now and understanding of when conception occurs that was not known in 1973 when Roe versus Wade passed. So if that is overturned, why is this constitutional amendment important for us?
It's important because it really doesn't matter if Roe v. Wade is overturned, because that deals with the federal constitutional issue. We will still have a fundamental right to abortion in the state of Iowa. So an example, the state of Illinois passed a bill this year, a new law, which basically makes abortion legal for any reason at any time. We don't even need to have that law passed here in Iowa because our Supreme Court already did that. And so, you know, you've got to.
I didn't know they were the legislative arm.
Well, that's really the role that they took. They saw mm-hmm. that they believed it was a fundamental right, and they said so in that case. And so, you know, we're kind of dealing with the fallout from that. And we don't want to have a situation where we're kind of a destination for abortion doctors,
right.
Which is very possible. You've got Illinois now building a big abortion facility just on the east side of the river by St. Louis, you know, to pick up that market, you know, from Missouri. It's just, you know, we don't want that. And this amendment, you know, will fix that. We're going to work on that. We want to pass it in this upcoming legislative session. And then there needs to be an intervening election. And then it needs to pass both chambers again in 2021. And at that point, it can go to a vote of the people of mm-hmm. Iowa.
How do you foresee, if you brought your crystal ball, is this going to pass this session? How much work are we going to need to do to influence our...
I'm pretty much done with making predictions on anything, but...
Especially on the radio.
But I will make a prediction. I think we're in better than 50-50 to get this passed in 2020 in the legislature. I've met with a lot of legislators, some legislators who are not known for being, you know, super... Mm-hmm. you know, pro-life people, you know, if I can put that label on it. I think we're in good shape. I think, you know, we're going to have really no problem getting it through the state Senate. The state House is a little different, but I feel like we're on track to get that done.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've been doing these sessions around Iowa. You had one last night. You have one tonight at St. Patrick's in Council Bluffs.
Right.
So What are the purpose of these training opportunities?
Yeah, the purpose of these is to have people who are kind of the pro-life contacts in Catholic parishes to come and get information about the amendment, get some background talking points, and have them actually do some work during that meeting to figure out what is my parish communication plan. Mm-hmm. And how am I going to work with the pastor to talk about this issue and try to get the information out in the parish during the legislative session?
So if someone's listening now that has not had any involvement but realizes how critically important this is for our state, wants to do something, where do they go?
Well, they certainly could contact me directly, and I'll point them in the right direction, because obviously one of the things we're working on is this needs to be a parish-by-parish issue. And we need to work with the pastors as the leader in the parish to do that. And so if people want to contact me, I can help put them in contact with people that they would need to talk about. And certainly you can sign up for our legislative network, because in any case, if you do that, you'll receive notification when this is moving through the legislature and when's the right time to contact your legislator on it.
That's the thing I love about your communications, because I may get all riled up about a particular issue, and it's like, well, don't spend your political capital yet. Wait until the time is right to contact your legislator. So I just have to take a deep breath and say, okay, it's not time yet. This is not the best time. Wait till a good time. So
yeah, sometimes it's hard to sit back, but you'll be hearing more about it. The Bishops of Iowa, little preview, are working on a statement in support of the amendment.
Good.
And then when that's ready to be released, that'll be released, and people will hear more about it going forward.
And I imagine at some point in time, we're going to go knocking door to door.
Well, you know, people are free to do that. We're definitely encouraging people to meet with their legislator about it, you know, because legislators need to hear about why this is important and why we don't want Iowa to be that kind of a state.
So let's not the rest of our legislative priorities. That's not the only one. Iowa is in a really strong financial position. We have low unemployment. How positive are you that the legislature may pass bills that will have a financial impact on our Catholic community? Like, you know, as you know, the Catholic Tuition Organization, you know, we are always looking for more tax credits. Our need in our schools is much greater than what we can help. You think we're in the right environment for that kind of work to happen?
Oh, I think so. I'm hopeful on a couple different areas. One is the Catholic school piece, and to find some more additional assistance for scholarships. There's been a new group formed, Iowans for School Choice, which is made up of some business leaders that are meeting with the governor. I feel like we're making progress on that. Once again, I've been talking to legislators about it. There's been a legislative workshop for legislators that have been sponsored by the American Federation for Children. And I think things are lining up that I feel like we're going to have some good support for some, you know, at least incremental change, and hopefully bigger than that change. Obviously, tax credits are very important to help raise money for scholarships. We still are very interested in the Education Savings Account program. And I know that there will be bills to move that forward this year. And for the first time this year, it came out of a full committee. That never happened before. It came out of the Senate Education Committee, a small program. And so I feel like we're making progress on that. We've got a ways to go, but that's something we're still going to be working on.
Well, and I would encourage our listeners, we've been given these tax credits. It's a minuscule, I mean, yes, it's talking about $15 million, $20 million. Doesn't seem minuscule to my pocketbook or yours, but compared to the state budget, it's a pretty small tax credit pool. But those tax credits are so beneficial to our families. 65% of whatever you give comes back to you, potentially, in a tax refund. So we have tax credits available, folks.
Yes.
Sorry,
yeah,
sidebar.
Just a little. No, it's important statewide. You know, we're trying to do a lot of fundraising for that, for those scholarships. It's important to do that. But the interesting thing is, it really is a relatively small program compared to other states that have similar programs. And we're trying to identify that fact for legislators to try to.
Yeah, Florida's
really
like $100 million or something.
Oh, yeah,
like that.
Some of them are $150 million in scholarships. Yeah. And so obviously there's, you know, states are different in their size and things, but it's still a relatively small program. And we can do a lot better because right now I think we're helping retain, but we would really like to increase enrollments in Catholic school and make these scholarships saying, yes, I can do this, and have people change their mind about whether they can go, you know, to Catholic school or not. So that's really our goal.
Okay, Tom, we've got a couple minutes before we take our next break. Let's start down your list of priorities. So first of all, have the bishops finalized their legislative priorities for this coming session?
They haven't finalized for 2020. They're still working on it, although the reality is they don't change a lot from year to year because the Catholic Church's teachings don't change.
So Bishop Johnson didn't come in and say, I want to cover these six things.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. You know, and you're trying to work with what's actually possible at the legislature. Mm-hmm. So they, in some ways, but there are some changes that I think are coming that we'll talk about. But, you know, obviously the bishops are always interested in health care and making sure that people have access to health care. Resettlement of refugees has been a very consistent issue for the Iowa bishops. The Diocese of Des Moines Catholic Charities is one of the two resettlement agencies in the state.
Who's the other one?
USCRI. It's another private nonprofit group, and so they really
not affiliated with the church.
No, it's not. It's a secular organization, okay. Nonprofit. So we're really the only church related organization that resettles refugees in their first resettlement. There's always things that bishops have been very interested in working on, restoring voting rights for people who have come out of prison. They've committed a felony and completed their sentence. I was only one of two states where they can't vote. In that instance.
I remember learning that in civics class. Yeah, that if it's you commit a felony, you don't ever get to vote. Yeah. It was like, as a kid, I thought, well, that makes sense. You've broken the laws. You don't get to decide what the laws
are. Sure. And there are felonies and there are felonies, too. Like in Iowa, it can be a felony, and I'm not advocating this, but it can be a felony to do $1,500 of damage to something. Well, if you're a kid who's 19 years old and you're screwing up and you're doing damage, should you really lose your right to vote for your whole life? Mm-hmm. I mean, that doesn't make a lot of sense. And we want people to be good
citizens.
Okay,
he can vote.
Yeah. So there's, so that way we want to change the law, and it takes a constitutional amendment. And so the governor's very supportive of that, and we're working on that actively.
Well, we're going to talk about the rest of the legislative priorities or as much as we can get through after this break. You're listening to Straight Talk right now on Iowa Catholic Radio. The Catholic Tuition Organization provides the best tax savings over any other charitable giving in the state. 65% of your contribution directly reduces your Iowa income tax liability. Plus, there are still federal deductibility options to further save on taxes. Find details online, ctoiowa.org. All this for the kids and their future.
Iowa Catholic Radio welcomes An Evening with Father Ricardo, sponsored by Ut Fidem, December 7th, 7 p.m. in the Grand Ballroom at the Iowa Event Center. Learn more at iowacatholicradio.com. Ut Fidem, Latin for Keep the Faith, strives to develop Dowling Catholic High School students who will keep the faith through college. Ut Fidem does this by supporting students in forming deep personal relationships with Christ through small group ministry and faith mentoring. Learn more about An Evening with Father John Ricardo, sponsored by Ut Fidem, Saturday, December 7th at iowacatholicradio.com. Thank you to Mercy One for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio. From the cardiovascular experts at the Iowa Heart Center to the pediatric services of Mercy Children's Hospital and Clinics, Mercy provides complete care for Central Iowa's adults and children with more than 50 primary care and specialty clinics in the Des Moines area. Find a convenient Mercy One location near you. Online at mercydesmoines.org.
Since 1924, St. Vincent de Paul has been helping those less fortunate work towards self-sufficiency. Last year, St. Vincent de Paul helped over 20,000 individuals with food, clothing, and shelter, while also offering classes in financial literacy, high school completion, career readiness, and prisoner reentry. SVDPDSM.org, 515-282-8327. Shop, donate, volunteer, serve. This message was brought to you by Homemakers Furniture.
Thank you to R&R Realty Group Apartment Communities for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning. R&R Realty Group Apartment Communities have unique amenities and award-winning property management. Sierra Point and Country Club Village Apartments in West Des Moines and residents at 62W and Wynwood Apartments in Johnston. R&R Realty Group Apartment Communities wants you to love where you live. Learn more at rrrealty.com. That's rrrealty.com. Find out how you can support Iowa Catholic Radio at iowacatholicradio.com or 515-223-1150.
Women who have had an abortion are 45% more likely to have another. At InterVisions Healthcare, we do everything possible to eliminate the perceived need for an abortion in their delicate time of crisis. Our experienced nursing staff seeks to be that soft place to land by providing education, encouragement, and empowerment through our medical services, especially the ultrasound. Since our services and programs are free, we invite you to learn more about ways to get involved in our ministry. Visit IVHcare.org or call 515-440-2273.
Welcome back to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio. This is Jean Wells, and today's guest is Tom Chapman, the Executive Director for the Iowa Catholic Conference. And you can find out all sorts of good information at the iowacatholicconference.org. Excuse me, just iowacatholicconference.org. Right. Don't use that little article in there of the. So we're looking at your legislative priorities, and there's things that we are supporting, things that we are opposing, and the reinstatement of the death penalty. I mean, right. Obviously we would be opposed, but I'm amazed that there are some Catholics who'd be like, you know, no, take this person out.
Yeah, there's definitely a feeling on some people's part mm-hmm. that would be just to do that. Mm-hmm. Certainly it's been clear from the bishops and the Pope over the past decades that that's not a direction that really they think is in keeping with the dignity of the human person, mm-hmm. you know. So we're definitely opposed to that. I would anticipate there'll be some efforts to bring it back at the legislatures. We've been successful in, you know, not bringing it back so far. In fact, there's a group called Iowans Against the Death Penalty, and they're meeting Thursday night on their annual meeting to talk about this. So that'll be something we'll be involved in if mm-hmm. it comes up, mm-hmm. for sure.
Okay. This goes back to our civility conversation earlier, but I find it interesting when people say, why are we providing assistance for refugees and immigrants and we don't take care of our own veterans? How do you combat that? Because we are called to care for everyone, the veterans and the immigrants that are here illegally. I mean, that's difficult. Mm-hmm. But the refugees, yeah, how do we respond to those kinds of claims?
Well, I think we should be as welcoming as possible, you know, with the limits that we have. Obviously, there are limits, and the bishops are not for open borders and that sort of thing. I think sometimes there's a misnomer about that. And immigrants who are here illegally don't qualify for anything except free public school, mm-hmm. and they can go to the emergency room. That's the only thing that they get, actually. Mm-hmm. So it's – and I don't think it's really – when you talk about veterans and things like that, I don't think it's a question of resources. It's a question of how well is it done. And sometimes you would see the same questions about education. Mm-hmm. You know, in the state of Iowa, you know, we need to have great public schools. Between state and local mm-hmm. governments, we're putting $6 billion a year into the public schools. So is it resources?
With a billion.
Yeah. And so they need resources, and there's inflation. So those things have to happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, how do we use those resources? And so we just the idea for the bishops, I think, are we want to be as welcoming as possible. Mm-hmm. And so with refugees, you know, there's like in the last year, maybe 30,000 refugees came to our country. Mm-hmm. They were all fully vetted while they were overseas. They're all here legally, so it's appropriate that we provide some help to them to get them started here. It's about jobs for refugees and getting them into jobs. And mm-hmm. I think the people at Catholic Charities would tell you that's a big part of what they do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Now, one of the other things that they are supportive of is measures to promote healthy families. That sounds good. Such as increasing the state's minimum wage, increasing the availability of affordable housing, and addressing food insecurity. Now, there's been a lot of things that come out that sounds like that would be for and against. Like Des Moines recently had a proposal that houses had to be built with a certain value. Well, low-income families couldn't support that value. So, I mean, would state laws help keep cities from creating an elite environment?
Well, that's possible, and it's always a question of, you know, it gets into subsidiarity. Is you want, you know, at what
Define
level is that law? I will. It's like,
okay.
what level do you want to do your action, you know, in the sense that does it make more sense for the city to regulate that, or does it make more sense for the state, you know, to regulate that sort of thing. And so you want it to make sense. You know, that's why we don't have a national police force. We do our law enforcement at the state or at the county and city level. At the same time, you don't want to have local militias. So you have, you know, a federal army, Navy, Air Force. So at what level does it make sense? So in that, you know, certainly that's something that the state could get involved with, particularly could be another tax credit. Question as to whether tax credits might be available to incentivize developers to do low-income housing, that sort of thing.
Now, what about the state? The state's minimum wage? We're currently at what, $7.25, something like that?
Yeah, same as the federal.
Yeah. So, you know, there was that conversation last year. Everybody should go to $15 an hour.
Right.
And you've seen a lot of, especially signs on the side of fast food places. Oh, we pay $10. We pay $12. We pay $15 an hour. But if we were to increase the minimum wage to 15, then everybody else is going to want to be proportionally increased. So, you know, that's going to impact our businesses. You know, I'm a fan of, you know, they're not money-grubbing capitalists. They have to make a profit in order to, you know, pay their people. But then they also support our community in so many charitable ways if they make a profit. So What are the bishops advocating at a $15 level?
Well, they did not pick a particular level because there becomes a question of a minimum wage. If it were at a certain amount, it probably does have an impact on jobs, and you don't want to impact jobs. At the same time, you know, people say, well, we don't need a minimum wage because everybody's paying $10 an hour. Well, that's absolutely not the case, you know, and it certainly isn't the case in some of the smaller areas of the state. So the bishops did look at that and looked at some of the economics, and they're looking at it as pastors, you know, and saying we'd like people to do better. And on balance, it probably makes sense to raise the minimum wage every once in a while. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been raised in over a decade in Iowa. It probably makes sense to raise it. And because, as you said, it does have a flow through effect, because when you raise the floor, other people are going to have to get increases as you go through. And the idea is to eventually, and not necessarily by legislation, but eventually get to what is actually a living wage, where you can have one person in the household work, support the whole family, and everybody would thrive that way. So it's a judgment call, you know, on what would happen if there was a $15 an hour minimum wage. Would the bishop support that? And the answer is, I don't know, because they'd have to talk about it. But they definitely have supported an increase.
Well, this is just one more reason why folks should go out and sign up for the newsletter at iowacatholicconference.org to be in tune with these issues as they come out, to hear or to read the commentary that supports why the bishops are in favor or opposed to particular legislation. Tom Chapman, always fascinating. We could go for several hours and keep the mics on or off. Doesn't make any difference. Thank you so much for joining
us
today.
Jean.
Folks, you are listening to Iowa Catholic Radio, and I want to thank our supporter, Blackbird Investments, for underwriting us. My producer today is Deacon Tony Valdez, and I'm Jean Wells. And today we ask the Saint Francis of Assisi, the patron saint for civility, to facilitate a forum for difficult discourse and acknowledge that all dialogue can lead to new insight and mutual understanding. We're on the air because of your generosity. Thank you. Thank you so much. If you'd like to support Iowa Catholic Radio, go to iowacatholicradio.com. A Straight Talk is live every Tuesday at 10 and rebroadcast at 10 p.m. Stay tuned now for Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo. God bless.
Straight Talk, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio with Gene Wells. Brought to you by Blackbird Investments.